Well, first things first, Mauricio, how are you?
Good, good. Like you said, just busy doing interviews, promoting the record, and getting ready to go to Europe because in a couple of weeks we fly out to Europe to do festivals like Wacken, Summer Breeze,
Right.
Partisan. So we have a lot of stuff going on. So yeah, we're busy and but happy, So that's what's important.
So a lot to look forward to. That sounds great. So before we jump into the new album, Goliath, I'd like to jump back to your solo project because last year you released an album under the name Invictus, and it was called Unstoppable. How do you look back at that album?
Well, it was a very personal record to me. It was something that I wrote during the pandemic. I wanted to put something together that I had time. Everybody was kind of just all you do is write when you're in a situation like
Sure.
that. So I took the opportunity to do that. So we had I wanted to try something new with clean vocals in it, a bunch of different things that we've never done before. So it was a difficult record because when it came out, it had a lot of issues. A lot of technical stuff happened to
Okay.
it, stuff we couldn't explain. Like there was a lot of like the videos were uploaded in a bizarre way. And then, anyways, it was a long story. There's a lot of mistakes that were made around the record on its release, but the people that heard it loved it. It was a big record for that reason. We didn't tour for it. There was never an album that we expected to tour for it. It was something that we just wanted to release and see how it goes. So, looking back at it, a few things I would have done differently on its release marketing campaign. But other than that, musically, I'm very happy about the results, and they still strong. The songs still stand really strong, after a year.
Yeah, and I think the reason why I ask is because thematically, I would say that there's somewhat of a continuation going into Goliath. So did kind of what the past couple of years of just being by self-writing, did that influence what now Goliath has become?
Absolutely. And I think it's just Cataclysm has always been a real time type of band. We are very for the people, by the people, so this is we've always been a band that is there to uplift. We have a positive message in the end, even if it comes across aggressively and sometimes in a negative sense. The end result is always a positive one of overcoming, so this has always been the Cataclysm way. I think that the last couple of years have been very difficult and strange. I think the world's catapulted into something absolutely strange now that I don't
Sure.
recognize. I think I'm not the only one. Many people do.
It's
And
very
so
confusing still.
very confusing and very like it's almost like everything we've been taught and everything that you believe to be true is now no longer true, right? So I think that this is a machine behind this. I think that there's forces that are pushing this type of narrative everywhere around the world. There's a lot of division that shouldn't be there. A lot of things like that are happening that make no sense to me, So, like I said, I'm for the people, by the people. I'm a big supporter of freedom of speech and freedom of expression and freedom of choice as well. I think that we are this is these things are in danger at the moment, and if we don't protect them, things like this, just speaking, me and you, are not going to happen anymore. So I think it's important to protect those rights. And Goliath is kind of a general aspect of it. It's not only about the things that are happening to us, but it could be as simple as a bully in school. You know what I mean? So that's bullying somebody that's weaker. So it's all about standing up for yourself. And the most important line I'm going to give you is that to conquer the fear, because this is how they win. This is how they grow, is to instill fear, and it's and if you are fear, if you have fear in you, you'll never be happy. And that's
Yeah, and
sometimes.
I think a lot of the bad things that are happening these days, as you mentioned, are happening out of fear. People just being afraid for their own kind of little world and
World,
not kind of seeing it as something we have to do together in a way. But
yeah.
if you want to say something, go
Yeah,
ahead.
just I was just saying, when you put everybody in a digital prison, right? Then it's easy to control. So if all your output is on social media, for example, and they decide, today we don't like what you're saying, and they shut you down with a press of a button, it's a very scary time. That was never the case before. We were
Right.
free. But now we're kind of entering this place where everything's getting digitalized, and then there's going to be somebody on the top that's going to decide whether you're allowed to speak or not. You know, we're kind of having that type of situation, you know.
Yeah, already. And I think the funny thing is this whole social media and new technology was meant to make everything more accessible, more democratized, and more kind of fair playing field. But as you mentioned, there's still the gatekeepers who decide what's going on where, and algorithms that decide what goes where. So it's a tricky time.
Absolutely. Yeah.
No, but what I find interesting, and then as you mentioned, this isn't just the last couple of albums. This is kind of a mentality or philosophy that you and the band always had. But this idea of resilience and not backing down and kind of fighting through things. Do you know where that comes from for you?
I think it's embedded in me from my childhood, and you know, sometimes not fitting in with everybody else. I think this relates to a lot of metalheads. In the beginning of your life, in the beginning of your finding who you are. I think a lot of metalheads are outcasts. We don't feel like we're part of the same system as everybody else, you know, as far as the way of thinking and things like that. And I think that what stood us out a lot was the fact that we could question, and we're nonconformists in many ways, you know, we just don't follow whatever. But I feel that the metal scene as well, and a lot of my colleagues, which are, you know, bands that I've respected and friends with, I'm not going to mention names, I've also started going that narrative of do what they tell you, you know. It used to be Rage Against the Machine saying, you know, I won't do what you tell me or whatever, and now they're doing what they're told to do, you know. And it's like crazy to me to see that. But bands like us are here to kind of still keep that flame alive of questioning and defying, because we have to do it, you know. It's like at some point somebody has to speak the voice of people, and some we may be getting that megaphone, you know, to do
for
it.
Sure.
Yeah, so that's our goal in the end, you know. That's what we are here for. And it's also for us, you know. It's like it came to me growing up, and that I always had to fight for my position anywhere, to get up to a place of acceptance. I think also, like, you know, growing up in my environment, and so it was metal was the thing that I was attracted to, you know, because it was like a lot of people that were like me. So, and that's how we find each other, you know.
Just in general, and this is way too broad a question, I suppose, but what has music then brought you? Being able to be in a band, to make the type of music that you make, what has that allowed you from a mental perspective?
It's therapy, right? To me, it's therapy. Like, that's why Cataclysm has got so many records, you know, and I release records all the time, because for me, it's therapy. You know, it makes me think, and it's an output that I need. Some people like to go to a punching bag and do that. I like to do music, you know. So, and I find that a lot of people are like that, and they expect that from Cataclysm. Every 2-3 years, we're putting a record out of what's happening in the last couple of years, you know, and how we're feeling, how we're seeing things. You know, like I said, we're very real time, you know.
How important then, and then obviously it is very important, but is the life aspect, the communal aspect of sharing those thoughts and kind of purging those feelings within that live performance?
So Cataclysm has always had this deep connection to its fans, especially on the live front, right? We are an escape for a lot of people, and we also a gatherer of people, you know. So when we are, it's like it's, to me, I see it as like a metal concert's like a church for us, where everybody comes together. It don't matter what you look like, don't matter what creed you're from, doesn't matter what race you are, whatever. We're all here for the common goal of metal, you know, the getting together for the music, for the idea of sharing something together. If the world was like that, we'd have zero issues, you know. And that's the crazy part. You know, people look at us like outcasts, we're the problem, but we're actually a solution. If you look at it, you know, there is we are connected through music, you know. And that's why I don't like when bands go into politics with this, you know. It's like, stay out of it. That's not our business. Our business is to bring people together, and that's the way I see our job in it, you know, as far as I'm. So it's the way I've always believed it should be. So
right. And you mentioned making a lot of albums. I believe this is number 15, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
And then this is just Cataclysm. So there's a lot of other stuff you did over the years as well.
I think in all, if I'm correct, I think I have 20 records, because I
Okay.
have four with Exdeo and one with Invictus. That's about 20, and plus an EP. So yeah, I've done a lot in my 30-year career,
When you start to sit down, I don't know if you sit down with a guitar or just pen and paper. Whenever you're in that creative mindset, are you aware of all that stuff that you made before? Is that something you kind of sift through and think about a lot before you start working, or do you just start writing and see where it ends up?
I'm always looking forward.
Okay.
So I'm my past is already written, so basically I can't change it. So it's part of my construct, So the present time and the future is where I'm concentrating the most. So basically, when I'm ready to write now, I'm writing about what I feel now. That's how also our guitar sound has changed in the last two records. It's much more, it's down-tuned, seven string. We've modernized the sound because we are feeling that way now. We want to change some things around, a little bit. We don't stand still as a band. Like, the world doesn't stand still, so we will move
Sure.
around the same way. But we are focused on keeping our traditions there, because that's what made Cataclysm. I've always said, if you are a band, so I don't agree with bands that say, for example, I play my music just for me. I don't care what fans think and blah, 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 all that. Like, I don't buy it, right? So to me, it's like, if you're in a band, you are playing to the world. If you're releasing records to the world, you have to take in consideration what they like about your band, what got you there. The only innocent record you ever release will be probably your first and second record, because there was no expectations from you. And you release those records, and that's what started your foundation. Therefore, if you continue that route, you should keep that in consideration. So Cataclysm's kept that extremity from the beginning. It's kept some a lot of those things, also because we know our fans expecting some of that, so, but we keep changing.
But that's very interesting that you said it, because the first two albums that were released, you were still playing bass, and then you kind of made that transition to being the vocalist as well. So for you, how did that change kind of affect the way you see Cataclysm yourself?
I mean, it's a big difference going from playing bass to
Right.
vocal. It's a major. You're going from, the rhythmic section to, the front, and that all eyes on you. It's much more pressure, but I've always been the voice of the band in a way, and even when I had the old singer Sylvain in the band, I was still exchanging a lot of ideas on how we should portray the band, like,
Okay.
so we were always the two guys in the front, even if I was a bass player. And then it was an automatic transition for me to take over. And then when I did that, it was a challenge in the beginning, but eventually, it felt like a natural role for me, So that's the way I see it.
When it comes to Goliath, then, was there a song that kind of popped up early on that functioned as somewhat of a blueprint for the album, or kind of this a key song that the rest could kind of gravitate towards?
That's a very good question, and it was very difficult with this record to find that pivotal place where
Right.
one song could represent the record, because I don't think there is really that. There's maybe Die as a King that can kind of relate the groove aspect and the melodic and the blast beats. It's kind of a complete type of track, but the record has a lot of wings, so it moves in different directions. I think the first track is very dark, Dark Wings of Deception is a very dark, heavy track that then goes into chaos and then comes back into controlled chaos. So it's Land of the Living to the Land of the Dead is one of the fastest tracks we've ever written, and people have no clue, because if you've listened to Bringer of Vengeance, it's like a big groove-oriented Cataclysm live track. We play that live, the place is exploding with the groove, but they won't expect a song like Land of the Living. So for me, this album is a experience from start to finish. You can't really dissect it with one song. It's impossible. It's the way I see it, at least,
You mentioned Die as a King. Die as a King. Was that inspired by King Richard? I read that somewhere. Am I right in saying
So it was inspired as we were writing it. It was not inspired in initial written lyrical content. It was when we decided to do the video and we attached that character to the
that?
song because it was in line with it, and the story was cool. And we kind of changed a few things in the story, like with the kid and all that stuff, just to make it more dramatic, you know. But because the idea was to do the prequel afterwards, you know, release first the aftermath and then the prequel, like movies do. We want to do something cool like that. But the message behind it is simple about, you know, the whole thing. It's the first one is Bring Your Vengeance is about, you know, being patient to reach a level where you can achieve what you've set out to achieve, right? So in this case, it's him, you know, going through the proper training, going through the proper patience and time to find this the right moment to take his father's revenge and take his honor back. So that was his thing. And then the king's message behind that is to stand tall no matter what happens in life, have no fear, right? And then even in the face of death, that you have been truthful to yourself and that you will stand and fight till the last minute. You know, those are the two things that are kind of portrayed in this thing. I find society is kind of not wanting you to be that anymore, you know. So I'm a big believer in those type of things, that it's important to stand strong for the things that you believe in, you know.
Yeah, and what I find interesting then, because you kind of alluded to it earlier as well, but why do you think so many people in society succumb to kind of the pressures of what
I think it's
yeah.
fear, number one, fear of not belonging, right? Fear of in some people, they know it's wrong. They know it makes no sense. But if they know that if they say something, they're going to have backlash and they're going to lose something, right? So
Right.
it's the fear. So that's one fear. There's then the other fear. And then there's the third part, which I think is people want to feel like they belong to a cause. So a lot of people like don't have a good existence in their mind. So when you're presented with a cause, they like, hey, I could be part of this, would be with a bunch of people and be a winner in their head, right? So they support things that I know deep down they don't think is accurate. They brainwash themselves as well, you know. So I do believe that exists a lot, you know. And you can see it through society at the moment everywhere.
Yeah, that's one of the things I worry about, the idea of groupthink and that people just kind of collectively behave very differently. Because when you have conversations with people one-on-one, they're very, very decent and rational. But then in groups, it always seems to go south a little bit.
It's actually, I kind of agree and disagree at the same time. I think that we need to have debate, like the Greeks used to have. Why do you think they were the most philosophical people in the world? They created the philosophy, you know, like the questioning things, right? Why? Because they were maybe 12, 13, 14 philosophers that would come together and debate each other, and somebody would say, I think you're wrong because of this. And then the other guy will say, okay, you make sense. And then like that, they come to a conclusion, right? Or to an answer. Because now they're dividing that. They don't want you to be together and talk and sit around the table and discuss things. So they destroy the family unit. They destroy things that are, and it's all in the name of control and profit, in my opinion. It has to be that type of direction. Now, I might be wrong. But I certainly feel that there's this type of thing going on where, you know, politicians are out there and dividing people more than bringing them together, you know.
And then for us then as kind of I can see myself as a David and just regular people as Davids, and then you have these huge corporations and politics and nation states. Those are the Goliaths of the world in a sense. What can we do as Davids to combat that, you think? Is it just to think for yourself and
Well, it's to me, it's everything starts in your neighborhood. Everything starts in your house. So it's all about you not agreeing and refusing to do things that they force you to do that you know is not right for you. So if you are okay with it, then do it. But if you're not okay with it, don't. You understand? Like because to me, that's how things are. So for example, I don't like to talk about COVID vaccine and all this stuff. To me, it was a weird time, But the people that didn't want it, in my opinion, been not been forced to take it, you know,
Oh, definitely.
and it's your body, right? And I think you have the right, you know. It wasn't something like it killed a lot of people. We get it. We understand it was a dangerous virus, but at the same time, it wasn't something like that one out of two people were dying. Like it wasn't extreme like that, where you have to take it or else the earth is done, you know. It wasn't that severe. And in my opinion, I know a lot of people will maybe disagree with me, and I'm okay with that. Like that's what I mean about debate, right? I
Sure.
accept your decision, your view on it. But my view is like I thought it was very heavy-handed. Take it or you lose your job. Take it or you're this. Take it or you're and I don't come from that education, right? So that was a problem for me. And so when you adapt that mentality to everything else, then you have authoritarian type of thing where it's like, well, I don't agree with you. You're a terrorist. Boom.
Right.
You're shot down, you know, for what? You know, so I find that we're in a dangerous territory at the moment as in humanity. And I agree with you. We are this record is called Goliath because the focus is on the machine, right? But we are with David because that's who we are, right? We're the people. You know,
Right.
it's not about biblical stuff. It's not about religious. This is
Sure.
about the idea of what that is, you know.
Just
The song Goliath has a line that I really like that I wrote that's called, you know, no enemies too big, you know.
Yeah.
So
That's what I wrote down here as well. No enemy. Yeah, you can see, but
yeah.
no enemy's too big. Yeah.
Yeah, no enemies too big. So it's been proven over time and time again that strength are in the numbers. So it's us. We are much more. We don't comply, nothing happens. You know, during the protests, the Canadian trucker protests that happened in Canada, we supported that. You know, we got a lot of backlash inside our country from the industry, which nobody knows about. We were forced to take it down, but we kept it there as long as we could. It was almost a month on there, 3 weeks, and then we had a lot of pressure, you know. And then we didn't know all the details, so it's a mistake, I think, because we should have st stuck with it, you know. But the idea is, in the end, that those truckers stopped the whole thing in Canada, and then it changed.
Yeah.
They started opening up everything again. So there's something weird that happened. I have no answers for it. I know that. I tried to do what's best for my family, and in the light of my career, I put a message out there to think for yourself. You know,
Last,
whatever.
I have one last question then about kind of encompassing a lot of what we've talked about, but what role can music play then within this power struggle or this move towards more, like you said, more communal, but at the same time more authentic to yourself in a way? How
Right.
can music help us get there?
Well, music is vibrations, right? So the vibrations is what makes everybody feel a certain way, and I think that music is a positive thing. It's an escape. So it should be the place that we rally together, you know, and then from there we are absorbing the things that we want to absorb and let go of the things that you need to let go, you know. And I think that in general, music is a great conduit for what we need to do in life, you know, because without music, there is no humanity, right? You need music. Imagine a world without music.
It's
So
crazy.
it's as important almost as water, you know. So to me, it's my role is to supply that side of things, you know what I mean? That's my role.
Well, one last thought then, because I don't know what it's like in Canada, but I can imagine it's very similar. Here in the Netherlands, a while ago, a discussion kind of came into to society about how should we value music. It was because of the lockdowns and people were artists were being booked but not paid. Kind of, oh, you should be happy that you're getting this exposure and all that stuff. So how do you think art in general, that it can be just music and metal is obviously a subgenre within that, but how do you think art should be valued then? Because it feels like not everybody sees it the same way, and
It's
especially from.
always been, it's, you know, Leonardo da Vinci and all these guys that were famous in those times, but they weren't rich, you know, like
Right.
I think they became legendary after their death, right? So
Sure.
artists very much so, you know, it's not respected on the moment. Some are, but a lot of it gets recognized afterwards, of the importance of what it is. There's a huge value in music. It's just that the people that control the money behind it, you know, like in every other business, right? They want to control the entire aspect of what you should listen to, you know, and stuff like that. So I think in metal, we are a little bit different than that. We have our own world that we're able to kind of control in a way that, you know, we have our own outputs out there. I created my own world inside the metal world, you know, like we have
Sure.
our own agencies we've created. So we can continue to go everywhere and without being stopped, you know, and things like that. So we're a very self-sufficient band, you know, and I think that's the way to go in the future, you know, podcasts, things like you're doing right now, everything that's the future. There's not going to be, in my opinion, mainstream media is going to be gone, and it's going to be all about things like this in the future.
Yeah, I think we can see that shift already I'm a big sports fan. The way sports is covered, a lot of athletes themselves do podcasts now, and it's more direct, it's more honest, and the same can be said for music.
Yes.
Maya, thank you so much. Very, very enlightening talk. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you as well for you guys. And I appreciate your time you gave me, and thank you for spreading the word.